So, hi, I'm Brother Akul. I'm going to be bringing faith today, just what I've studied about faith. It's the first part of the gospel. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to believe? So I'll go over 1 John 3:16. It's a verse that pretty much everyone knows. The last time I was preaching it, someone actually yelled out, secular person. Everyone knows that verse. Preach a different verse. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So let's look at that word, believeth. The original word it looks like the Greek. I'm bad at identifying languages. It's a pistuo, and it means to have faith in upon, or with respect to a person or thing, that is credit by implication to entrust. Basically, you're committing, you're putting your trust in. So belief is summed up in putting a trust in or committing to. You commit your trust to that person. So I'll read the verse again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, trust or commit to him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So like a marriage, believing in Christ and putting your faith in him involves commitment. Because even the demons believe in God, yet they aren't committed to him. And that's in James 2:19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Then the question comes up, can you commit to God without loving him? It's really impossible to commit to God without loving him, as those who love him do his commandments. One may commit to him out of fear initially, but eventually that person will understand the love of God is in keeping his commandments. And a verse I want to bring up is Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we're called to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What kind of love are we talking about? Well, it's not the worldly idea of love, namely a fleshly love derived from sensuality or feelings. It's the love that requires an act of doing. Understanding the will of the Lord, the goodness of his creation. It's a desire to please the Lord by serving him. So a love that requires doing. I know a lot of times in the world people bring up love and it's this fleshly, sensual type of love. God's love, this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. So I'll bring up another verse here, Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's look at the word serve real quick. So serve, the Greek word is doulouo, doulouo. And that means to be a slave to, literally or figuratively, involuntarily or voluntarily, be in bondage or serve. So I think of serve as submitting to, obeying, being a slave to. So let me read that verse again. No servant can serve, submit to, be a slave to, obey two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot submit to, be a slave to, obey God and mammon. So what is mammon? Mammon is treasure, riches, and it's really, I like this Strong's definition, the Greek word being mammonos. And I like the Strong's definition. It says deified. It's basically deified riches. So treasure and riches, it's deified wealth. So let me read that verse one more time now that we kind of have an understanding. No servant can serve, submit to, be a slave to, obey two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else else, he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot submit to, be a slave to, obey God and treasure or riches or any deified wealth. We cannot be a slave to our deified wealth and a slave to God. Someone who commits to God must put off the deification of anything in their lives that exalts itself above the Lord's word. Serving mammon, being in bondage to mammon, or being bound with sin and outer darkness, man is given a heart for the treasure of this world when he is given over to gather and heap up vanity and dust. And that's in Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So rather than serving God, these wicked people serve the pleasure garnered from riches, which perish quickly. One can either choose to hold on to vanity or forsake it to serve the Lord. Serve being obeying, being a slave to the Lord. One loves the Lord when he obeys his commandments. Not only this, if your heart is for the Lord, you will leave whatever else is in your mind behind. After being resolved to do this, the Lord faithfully upholds his covenant by giving us the Comforter, which will come later on in the gospel. But the last verse I wanted to read here was one I mentioned earlier, John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So I kind of went over a lot for faith. It kind of went on a little bit of a rabbit trail, but faith is putting a trust in, committing to, you're giving your life over, you're not serving another master, you're fully committed to serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's what I have to bring today.
Awesome, brother. Thanks. Brothers, what say about what Brother Kuhl has brought about faith? What say you?
There's lots of verses on faith. Basically, faith is also, I'm not so sure if you quoted this one. You went through a bunch of scriptures. You did Matthew 6, basically, about faith being trusting in God for all your needs, right?
Let me just double check here. You can read it again if you want. I think that'd be fine.
Yeah, well, like he basically says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, and he's doing that at the end of like a teaching on like, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So basically, to worry and doubt about temporal things. I mean, we're good stewards, but we don't make it our focus, like you were saying, God and mammon. I think that was a good point about faith, that you don't make it your focus because you're trusting God for it. And then you realize that there's, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's only two people who Jesus really praised for their faith, and both of them were not Jews. Unless I'm missing one. One of them was a Roman soldier, and the other was the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter had a devil. And both of them gave us a great example of actual faith, which is basically like not requiring a sign, but in humility before the Lord. Lord, I know you can do this if you just will. Which is like a great example of faith. Unless, am I missing another example of someone who Jesus actually praised for like having great faith?
Hey, I have to ask you a question. Can you go back? I'm trying to remember what you just said, Brother Zelos. Did you say something about that we don't focus on our faith because it comes from God, or did you, I'm not trying to quote you, but did you say something like that?
No. I said we don't focus on the temporal things, like serving God and mammon was an example. We focus basically on God and don't make the temporal matters our focus. We trust that God takes care of us.
Okay.
That's another example of faith.
I heard it totally wrong, because I thought I heard you say something about we don't focus on our faith because God gives us faith.
No.
Okay. All right, I heard it totally wrong, but I wanted to ask the question, so thank you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Sorry if I worded it funny. I don't even remember how I worded it now anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's on audio. We can go back and listen to it later, and we can get it right. So I just wanted to make sure and clarify that. So.
Yeah, I don't think I said that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And again, am I missing another example of Jesus actually praising faith and those two who basically came in full humility before God and like, Lord, if you can do, just to paraphrase, if you can do this, I know you have the power. I know you can do this. Just please do it, Lord. And just in complete humility, poor in spirit, coming before the Lord in faith.
Well, when I did the verse-by-verse study through Matthew, one of the things that I was amazed at, or many things I was amazed at, was in the book of Matthew, how Christ always did one of two things regarding faith. I guess it makes sense, but when I saw it, I was like, amazing. He always called out lack of faith, like a rebuke, and he always praised great faith. That makes sense, right? But I mean, he always was like harsh on people that didn't have faith, and he called it out. And then the people that had either just faith or great faith, he always praised them. And I always found that was really interesting. It was a pattern of him all through the book of Matthew. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. When I think of faith, I think of an allegiance to, like a soldier. The Bible tells us we're a soldier of Christ. And when you become a soldier of Christ, or excuse me, when you become a soldier, your allegiance is all in for your commanding officer, for the purpose and the cause that you're fighting for, in this case, spiritual battle. And I think the big problem in the churchianity world that we encounter is people think faith is just a head knowledge. I believe in Jesus, like Brother Akuo covered. Even demons believe and tremble. And their easy believism has reduced the faith in Christ to that mental assent. It's not a faith that leads to action, allegiance, a verb. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And I always make this statement in the streets, many people in America believe in Jesus. Hardly anyone's following him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They believe. It's a mental ascent. Their life hasn't changed to follow him. They're not doing anything, obeying his scriptures, but they believe in him. And they think that that type of belief is going to save them, and it's not going to, because James 2 says faith without works is dead. Brother Purgos, what do you say about faith and all the stuff we're talking about?
First of all, Brother Akua, I really liked what you said. I really loved how you talked about the fact that it cannot be, your convictions cannot be divided between faith and mammon. I don't think I've ever heard anyone use Ecclesiastes and of faith, so I applaud you for that. A couple verses did pop to mind. Whenever scripture clearly defines something, I sort of like that. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whenever scripture clearly says anything, I like to say that. Couple other things. Also, you preach faith, and that is, of course, because so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, I mean, someone says, okay, so I hear you, but I need more faith. What do I do? You know, I mean, I like to sometimes give practical things. And one other verse that really pops out for me is 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And there's one other, I believe it's in Romans. The paraphrase, it basically says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So therefore, faith is paramount in all that we do, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But yes, I really like that. I really loved your explanation of it being conviction that leads to action.
Yeah, amen. You quoted Hebrews 11:6 loosely. I wanted to just read it. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and this last part, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at that. Faith leads you to diligently seeking God, does it not? Brother Zello said, Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or its righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Verb words. Our faith leads us to action and allegiance to Christ. Amen, brothers.
Amen.
Anything else, Brother Zelos?
Yeah, I gotta correct something I said. So there was actually four accounts that I can find that that the Lord praised faith. So it was the Roman soldier, it was the Syrophoenician woman, it was the one who was sick of the palsy and his friends brought him, and it was the woman who was sick those years and walked up and touched the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
There might be another one I'm missing, but there's kind of a pattern. Did you notice the pattern in all of them? There are people who went out of their way to grow to almost extraordinary lengths to humble themselves, believing, and this is kind of the trust, believing that if they would go to the Lord, he would, and like they were fully persuaded and convicted that he could and would help them if only they could come to him.
Yeah.
Like it's just an example of of what faith is, that it's not just, they didn't just sit at home and think about it. They actually went to great lengths, and Jesus praised their faith. They acted it out.
How about?
It's just kind of like an awesome example of faith and works in action, right? You
Amen.
can't separate the two. They had great faith, and because they had great faith, the centurion was like, "Don't even bother coming, Lord. You just got to say a word. I know he'll be healed." The woman like crept through the crowd and just like, picture this.
Yeah.
If I can just touch the tip of his robe. I mean, who tears a roof apart if you don't have work?
I was just going to bring that one up. I don't think Jesus praised them there, did he? But wow, what faith did it take, huh?
Well, he saw their faith. He's like, your faith has made you
Yeah,
whole. I
he
mean,
saw
that's
their
just
faith. I didn't know what you meant by praise faith, because I think there's quite a few examples, like the blind man, and he comes up to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, do you want to be made whole? And he says, yes, I do. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. I didn't know what you meant by praising them. There were quite a few people that came up to him, and they got healings, or they got what they were seeking because they did have faith. But you're right.
Yeah, but
They took action.
there was quite a bit of action. And then another, just one more thought on it. We did a little while ago, Brother Purgos brought Colossians 2. And again, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So faith is something that we can root and build
Yeah. Amen.
and establish more firmly.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and again, I always like to make the differences. The faith of the churchianity system and the people of the world is a head knowledge to just believe and that's it. I do and live my own life. Christ is my Savior because I want to go to heaven, but he's not my Lord and I don't obey him. Whereas a biblical faith is one that leads an allegiance to, it changes you through the gospel. It leads you to repentance. It leads you to fleeing all false ways. And it's an active faith, full of verb, full of following, full of doing, full of enduring. I'm going on in the gospel here. It's not just, I believe, and I do my own thing. It's not what a saving faith is all about.
Yeah.
Anything else, brothers, when it comes to faith?
One verse sort of popped into my mind, Luke 6:46. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here's something that's kind of point out the obvious. If we have faith, we will be faithful.
That's true.
It's kind of obvious, but it's kind of got a lot of meat to it if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have faith, we'll be faithful, which is kind of almost like saying we will endure.
Yeah, and look what faith does. Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith purifies us too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like
1 John 5 says that we overcome, and our victory that overcomes the world is our faith.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Brother Kuo. Good job, brothers. Faith, yeah, it's the in Christ, what he's done, it's the foundation, and he's the cornerstone of what we are building on. So it's a good place to start, and we'll keep building on the gospel from there. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Kuo next will bring repentance. When he gets that ready, he can let us know.